Last week I got very nervous, or I guess the week before, thinking that this had been here the whole time, and I did not know that. It's new, by the way. Just installed. First time I've ever put it up there. Last time I had a deacon do it. Anyway, the gospel, now let's back up. The second reading asks us today, what sort of persons ought you to be? This is the question set forth to us by Peter. What sort of person ought you be? Not what kind of person are you? Not what kind of person do you wish you were? But what sort of person ought you be? Most people today, if you ask them, what sort of person ought you be, will come up with some sort of vague answer that sounds something like this. Well, you know, you should be a good person, and you should do things that, you know, try and help you be a good person. That's like super vague and not helpful. And it's an answer based on subjective truth that really falls apart under any sort of scrutiny. So what type of person does Holy Mother Church say you should be? We ought to be people that conduct ourselves with holiness and devotion, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God. But what does this mean? It means that we are to be holy. And holiness means that something or someone is set apart for God. So if we desire to be holy, we desire to be set apart from the vague definition that the world offers of a good person. And in order not to fall into vague definitions of what the world defines as a good person, there are specific things that we as Catholic Christians should be doing. These are called the corporal and the spiritual works of mercy. Now, everyone, regardless of situation, is able to do the spiritual works of mercy, no matter what. The corporal works of mercy may be just a bit more difficult, especially in the time we live in. But just in case, you're sitting next to someone and you're thinking to yourself, well, you know, Father, of course I know all of the things that you just said, but maybe the person next to me might need a bit of refresher. I'm going to go ahead and refresh them for all of us right now. Because you're already onto something great if you're asking for me to illuminate the darkness of your friend's ignorance. Because the first spiritual work of mercy is instructing the ignorant. Now, personally, I like it the way that we used to say it, instructing the stupid. But apparently, that had to change after Vatican II. So, instructing the ignorant is the first spiritual work of mercy. Next, we have counseling the doubtful, admonishing sinners, bearing patiently those who wrong us, forgiving offenses, and comforting the afflicted. Finally, the last spiritual work of mercy is to pray for the living and the dead. Now, as I said, everyone, regardless of age or disability, can do these in the comfort of their own home. You can do these alone, or via FaceTime, Zoom, or a simple phone call. They are called the spiritual works of mercy because they are to relieve spiritual suffering, both your own and that of others. Now, the corporal works of mercy, these are ordered to relieve the suffering of the body. The corporal works of mercy are feeding the hungry, giving water or drink to the thirsty, clothing the naked, sheltering the homeless, visiting the sick, visiting the captive or imprisoned, and finally, burying the dead. Now, often these things can be done in conjunction, for if you're feeding someone, normally you're giving them also a drink. If you are visiting the imprisoned or captive, normally you are going to help counsel the doubtful, or possibly bear patiently those who wrong you. Now, one of the ways that we participate in the corporal and spiritual works of mercy as a cluster is by supporting our Haiti outreach. We have two schools in Haiti that we pay about $7,600 each quarter so that the teachers might have salaries and the school doors remain open. We take in about 25% of that cost in all collections across the cluster each quarter. As you can tell, This is not a sustainable business model. We would like to continue to support these two schools because by supporting them, as I said, we are paying the teachers' salaries so that they can provide a Catholic education for those children entrusted to their care. And in a country like Haiti, an education is a future with financial security. An education is the possibility for securing a better life. A life that allows those children to have skills that are valuable so that when they grow, they might attain a job and be able to provide the basic needs and necessities for their family. Needs such as shelter or clothing or food. Now, we share the same basic necessities, but our lives here, even if they be meager, are still so much better than most of those who live in Haiti. One of my greatest friends and priest mentors is named Father Louis Morazny. Now, he was a senior in college when I was a freshman, but we were in the same fraternity, so I got to know him. Louis was born in Haiti, and then through some, let's say, creative paperwork, moved to Boston. What I mean by that is his uncle and aunt moved to Boston, and then Louis and his sister, who were their children, were also moved to America. Now, because of this, Louis grew up in Boston for the early adulthood, and he came to Franciscan University when he went to college. I got to know him there and knew well of his desire to be a priest. He felt called to be a missionary and initially looked at the Missionary of Charity Fathers, who are the priests to the order that Mother Teresa started. He has such a missionary heart. But eventually, through discernment, he felt called to go back to his home country of Haiti. He felt the Lord telling him that there was plenty of missionary work to do there. So he went back and was eventually ordained a priest and has served for the last 8 years as a priest in his diocese. Now, he and I live very different lives as priests. I was with him last weekend when he was in America for a bit, and he was trying to arrange his travel home at one point and sharing with me some of the details. He said he would fly into Port-au-Prince, but this time, instead of driving the few hours it is to his village, he would arrange another small flight from Port-au-Prince to his home. When I asked him why, he said he just didn't feel like getting kidnapped and ransomed this week. Apparently in Haiti, that's a real thing. Now, just to give you an idea, my level of am I going to get kidnapped this week has never been over zero. But for Louis, it's a constant worry if he's traveling in and out of the capital. We live very different lives as priests. He shared with me that the other day they kidnapped and ransomed the wife of the police captain of the Port-au-Prince Police Authority. Now, Father Louis has been the rector of the cathedral in his diocese. He is their vocations director. And for the last couple of years, he has done constant missionary work up in the mountains of Haiti, combating the forces of voodoo and baptizing those who are accepting the gospel. And for all of this, Louis draws exactly zero salary. His diocese simply does not have money to pay their priests. They barely have enough to give them a place to stay and food to eat. And his diocese is not the only one like this. Much of Haiti is just this poor. So when we provide for the salaries of the teachers for the two schools, we are providing for them the opportunity to be employed so that they might eat and drink and have shelter and not be desolate. And so we, as the cluster clergy, are asking you this weekend for you to consider supporting our Haiti outreach ministry. It might mean that we have to go with less this week, or that we deny ourselves something that we might want to buy for a few more weeks. But most of us will not go without. If we have to, as a cluster, stop supporting these schools, then those teachers will not have a job, may not have enough to eat, and their students will not be given the opportunity to learn those skills that will allow them to go forth and get a job and provide for their own families in the future. So your support not only helps those people now, but helps secure the students a bright future. Now, people always like to ask, legalistically, of course, how much giving is too much, Father? How do I know that I'm doing enough? Well, let me say this. First of all, our God is never outdone in generosity. He simply isn't. So if we take steps to support others, to alleviate the spiritual and physical suffering of those brothers and sisters of ours in need, then he will not be outdone in generosity, and he will pour upon us his grace and will not let us go wanting. Second, we go to the words of St. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 when he says, "The willingness to give should accord with one's means, not go beyond them. The relief of others might not or ought not to impoverish you. There should be a certain equality. Your surplus at the present should supply their need, so that their surplus may one day supply your need." On this, the second Sunday of Advent, a time focused on prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, Father Tony and I are asking you to pray about giving to our Haiti outreach. And then, if you feel the Lord asking you to give, to put a check in the basket in the back and put on the memo line Haiti Outreach. Or sometime this week, to mail in a check or cash to any one of the parish cluster offices and just simply write a note that this money is for Haiti. We need your support. They need your support. The second reading this weekend asks us, what type of person ought you be? I would hope that we are the type of people that sees someone who is hungry or thirsty, ignorant or afflicted, downcast or imprisoned by circumstances, and we don't allow them to stay that way.